side. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesar shit, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they massacre from rain. They burn the kids, no one thinks gun. Trees, laugh to your face, fight. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social side, they don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See their shit, force of bear. Fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill. They massacre from rain. They burn the kids, no one thinks gun. Trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, my favorite online network. And unfortunately, this is my last broadcast on UCY, as tomorrow we say goodbye to the network. That's going to be tough. That's going to be really tough. I really enjoy these little one-hour shows. A lot. They're easy, quick, and I'm going to miss them bad. So we may end up somewhere else. In the meantime, we'll still be broadcasting over at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Sunday, noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time, and we'll keep that show going. But I got a lot of other things to do, too. I got to dig myself out of some debt here somehow before they shut the lights off and repo the house. So I gotta pick it up here a little bit, and we'll deal with it and we'll survive it. Fingers crossed. But in the meantime, you know, I'm kind of sad and happy at the same time that Jules is shutting the network down. She has been doing this for a lot of years, and has really put out and worked very, very hard, and she needs a holiday, and she deserves a holiday, and I think we can all accept that fact, and that, you know, nothing's more important than one's health, and once you get yourself all healthy again and has some time off, I'm sure she'll be back. Like, I know she'll be back. I don't think she'll be able to. This will be like losing a child. I mean, it's got to be tough. This is her baby. And so, you know, everybody, you know, say a prayer for Jules' health and wish her well and make sure she, wish her a wonderful summer. Great, you know, great, hopefully stress-free summer. And she deserves it. But I still think she's going to be back someday. I really, truly do. She's still a youngster. And she's a determined woman. And that's a good thing. Which brings me to the men. Where the hell did the men go? You know, I just finished the election run here for the province of Ontario. And I ran for the Libertarian Party, which doesn't have a hope in hell of winning. We have three main parties. You know, in the States, you got two main parties, and you know how hard it is for a third to get in there somewhere. And the cost is nuts. And So, you know, my hat's off to those who started the Libertarian Party, and who they are basically people who have voted for the main parties for years, decades, and finally come to the conclusion something ain't right here. And once they did some investigation in that, they got it and realized that these main three parties are taking us nowhere but down. And so they started up the Libertarian Party here in Ontario. I'm proud to have run for them. I don't think we have a hope in hell of getting a seat this election. But, you know, it takes time. You know, took a long time for those amoral a-holes to get us where they got us now. And they think they got us. And I am a firm believer that the people will turn this around. Hopefully we can be part of the leading group that brings it around. I was talking to a couple older guys at the last all candidates meeting, and my wife always laughs when I say that. I say I was talking to a couple older guys. She goes, like, how old are they? I said, I don't know, in their 60s or something. And she said, and how old are you? And I go, uh-huh. But I'm not one of those older guys. I'm still a young man. And even though I'm in my 60s, I don't feel like I'm in my 60s. I feel like more like in my 30s. When I talk to a lot of people in their 30s, they remind me of people who might be 75. It's all attitude. And I got my health, which is good. And I got my attitude, which is good. Even when I talk to my old friends, I just feel like I'm talking to old men. They got nothing going on. You know, they go stand in line and get their lottery tickets and watch the hockey game. Like, they're the walking dead as far as I'm concerned. Age ain't got much to do with it, you know. I learned a lot of that from my relatives, a lot of who have passed away now, but they all lived to be pretty old. My last uncle that just passed away was a month off in 95. And at 94, they came all the way from Quebec down here for me and my mom's birthday. Like, my mom was turning 80, and her brother was 94, going on 95. Sharp as a freaking tack. I mean, just amazing. And his wife, she just passed away here recently. So they're both gone now. But both of them, just their minds are so sharp, you know, compared to other people of today. And so, you know, it's not your age. Don't get bummed out because you're this age or that age. Just get your attitude right. And then age doesn't really make any difference. You just keep your mind sharp and keep your attitude, and you will find that age really doesn't even creep into the picture. It doesn't really matter. What does matter is that we have a duty to get our nation right, get our hands back on what was stolen from us. And we're going to get it. But, you know, I was when I was the last meeting we had was at a church, and it was a United Church. It was put on by the Chamber of Commerce, and me and one of the other candidates were not invited. They just wanted the big three to have the stage. Well, we had to do a little talking to these boys, or I did anyways, and force them to accommodate us. Which they ended up doing. But, you know, when I got to the church, not only the United Church, all of the churches are dirty as any other piece of politics. They've sold their souls out. It was a really cool church, you know. It was kind of like the pews were in a huge semicircle, and they were, you know, they weren't flat, you know, the floor raised towards the back, so it was more like theater seats. But it was nice. But when I looked at the audience, you know, I just say what I mean and mean what I say, and I wish everybody would do the same thing. Don't ever be intimidated not to say what's on your mind. That's another reason we are where we are today, this political correctness nonsense. You say what you mean, and you mean what you say. If somebody doesn't like it, well, they can sit there and debate with you, or they can just walk away. But you got to say what you mean, because otherwise, well, you're cutting your own soul out. So, you know, I looked at this group of people, mostly, you know, middle age and up. And I just laid it on them hard. You know, I thought, well, I'm going to do this in a church. I'll just, because it's time to lay some tough love on these people. And I didn't pull any punches with them. And I told them they were weak. They looked weak. They sound weak. They act weak. And, you know, they are why we are where we are today, because of their weakness. And when I was downstairs talking to these gentlemen after the old candidates meeting, you know, they said, you know, you really nailed these people right between the eyeballs. Well, they deserve it. And he says, but you're right, they're weak. So how are we gonna turn this around? I said, simple, you be strong. Because the weak will always follow. They'll follow somebody. And they're weak, but they know the government's pushing them into the ground, up against the wall. They know that. But they don't know how to deal with it. So we get strong, they will follow. We have this idea we can't do it. Every time I hear that, I want to punch somebody straight in the face. Well, there's nothing we can do about it. Shut up. Right? You're already dead. You know, you're the walking dead. You got no attitude. You got no soul. You're just a walking piece of meat. You got nothing. You're weak. So, you know, when I had that 16-year-old girl, when I went downstairs, the 16-year-old girl came up to me, and she said, I want to talk to you, right? And I didn't know she was going to give me a hard time for, you know, being throwing some tough love out to the audience or that, but she really surprised me, you know, 16-year-old girl who understood everything I was saying. And this is really why I ran. I'm trying to gauge where people are at, okay? That's the whole point. I mean, when there's an election, you get to talk to a lot of people. You get to do all these all candidates meetings. You get to gauge just looking at the audience where they're coming from or where they are, where they want to be. But this 16-year-old girl, we had a really good chat. You know, I said, so, you know, I told her, I said, you know, I'm a firm believer in best before dates, and that applies to propaganda as well. And I do believe the best before date on the propaganda is over. And your group of people, you believe in global warming? Nope. You understand this mental health thing they're pushing at you? Yep. And we talked about a whole bunch of subjects, and it was sweet. Because when I was talking to the kids 10 years ago, 12 years ago, after they came through that stupid Al Gore nonsense with the global warming, it really messed the kids up. You know, the teachers were blaming the children's parents for messing up the planet. That splits the children from the parents. But a lot of these kids really took it hard, right? Like, they didn't see a future now, because the planet was going to just implode on itself because of something the parents did or didn't do. But these kids today that I'm talking to, they get it. They get it. Not all of them get it, but some of them get it. And that's huge. That is absolutely huge. Now, I talked to this girl, and And I talked to some girls over at the high school we spoke at after we were done there, and they seem to get it. They understand that what they're trying to do is drug the kids to keep the kids stupid. Now, the one girl I talked to at the high school, she said she's already been through this. She got pulled aside because she mentioned, she introduced her best friend. And I go, and that's a problem? And she goes, well, yeah, you're not allowed to have a best friend. How's that? Well, everything's inclusive now. Uh-huh. Well, because I have a best friend, I'm excluding. And they actually put her on drugs. And she said that I never felt like that in my life. I was absolutely numb. And she said, I finally got away from that. And now I see. I see exactly what they're up to. So this is really positive news. You know, it's a lot of people, you know, you have to get through this stuff. You know, I mean, people sometimes have a hard time even understanding what I'm about to say. But, you know, I first realized this back in the 70s, what was going on. And I tried to tell my Canadian counterparts back then what they were up to. I said, we don't have a democracy. We have a dictatorship. Because once you elect somebody with a majority, we don't really have any checks and balances here. Okay? So right now, in the 70s, what you have is you have a benevolent dictator. And they're foisting all these benefits upon you. Now, one of the things that really shook me was back then, around when I was 17, they came out with this new unemployment thing where you only had to work 2 months a year, 8 weeks. And then you could collect free money for the rest of the year. And I got laid off on a job, and I collected, this is so long ago, it was the old punch cards, the same IBM punch cards they used over in Germany in the war to keep track of whatever was going on over there. And I still remember to this day, I don't remember what the questions were, but the answers, yes, yes, no, yes. So you click these little boxes, yes, yes, no, yes. You put the card in an envelope, you send it away, and in a week or two, a check shows up and with some more cards. Yes, yes, no, yes. You put them in an envelope. A couple weeks later, you get another check. I did. I got three checks, and it scared the hell out of me when I started to understand what was going on. I said, you know, we're young men, and what they're doing is they're softening us up. That we only have to work 2 months a year and then we get free money. And I told people then, I said, they're going to soften you up to the point that when they turn on you, and they're going to turn on you, you're going to be too weak. You're going to be so hooked into their system, you won't know how to push back. And so we're finally there. Took a long time, but we're finally there. And the people are weak. They believed that this government that was given the benefits and everything was their friend. No, they were just taking you down. And so now they're coming at us hard. So we need the strong to stand up to lead the weak. Because the weak are either going to perish through what's coming at them, and they're going to beg the government to help them. That's where that guaranteed income comes from. No different than what they were doing with the benefits back in the 70s. So the idea is to push you out of your homes. What's not sustainable? Private property. What's not sustainable? Private automobiles. Okay, so they're driving their hydro rates through the ceiling. Here in Ontario, they're starting to put the smart meters on water. They're going to amalgamate the water. Then they're going to sell off the water. Now, what does this remind you of? This is exactly what happened in Russia when the curtain came down. Okay, everything got sold off to the business people, which is exactly what's happening here. It's happening in the United States. So they own everything. Or as David Rockefeller said, something has to take the place of government, and business seems to be the obvious entity to do it. Or his bum boy, Maurice Strong, Canadian, who said, you know, I believe in capitalism for me and my friends, and socialism for everybody else. So this is what's going on here now. The Sovietization of the West. Okay, which was made very, very clear through the Rees Commission in the United States. When the guy from the, when they were commissioned to find out what the hell these tax-exempt foundations were up to. And Norman Dodds and the crew, they went looking, and they ran into a guy from the Ford Foundation, and the guy from the Ford Foundation asked them what they're up to, and he said, "We're trying to figure out what you guys are up to." "Oh, well, we're charged with Sovietizing America," and that's exactly what's been going on. Now, then you got to ask yourself, well, who Sovietized Russia? Well, the bankers. The bankers, the lawyers, and most of those people who were involved in the takedown of Russia were Jews. So, you know, you say it's the Sovietization or the Jewification, or the bankification, or the lawyerification, whatever the hell you want to call it. But the enemy is not at our door. It's not banging on the gate trying to get in. It's been inside since, well, probably when our countries were formed. And the whole point was to change our attitudes. And in changing our attitudes, make us weaker. You know, when you look back and you say, well, you know, we had, after the Second World War, we got the United Nations. And I don't know what it was, a day after the war ended, a couple of weeks after the war ended, all of a sudden Russia, who was our ally, all of a sudden became the enemy. Which justifies the United Nations, you know, and they use that doomsday clock. It used to irritate the hell out of me when I was in public school because I was pretty young then, and you know, we were told to duck and cover under our desks in case of a nuclear attack. Like, how stupid am I, you know? Yeah, I'm going to dive under a wooden desk, put my hands behind my head in case we get hit with a nuclear missile. I don't think so. So, as Warburg said in 1950 Senate hearings, there's going to be a world governed by consent or by conquest. And but they had a problem. What was the problem? The problem was there was two world powers. And we can't build a global government with two opposing powers. And that's exactly why the curtain came down at the Soviet Union, and that's exactly why the Berlin Wall fell. You know, people cheered when they came down, but for the wrong reason. You just listened to the media. The media told you what you needed to hear to make you happy. But that wasn't the purpose of it. It was so they could march us forward to the world government. And as Warburg said, we need mechanisms. We need global problems that can only be solved at the global level. So they come up with the environmental movement. And then they came up with the gender nonsense. and this and that and that and this and this and that. And now they want to set up all this broadband internet that's going in, is going in specifically, not for your benefit. I mean, look it up. It's for global voting for global citizens. Now, here in Canada, our prime minister has already said we're the first post-national state, which would make sense because Canada has been up to their eyeballs in this since the get-go. You know, we were the first, pushing the League of Nations, and then jumped. We were on the UN. Everything that is anti-freedom or anti-Western society, our government has been pushing from the back rooms. I mean, in Winnipeg, Canada, we have the IISD, which I would think one in maybe many hundred thousands of people have ever heard of, maybe one in a million's even heard of it. And the IISD is International Institute for Sustainable Development, which is the goal word to take the West down. Now, where did sustainable development come? Supposedly from Girl Brundtland. Now, that word, that phrase was around before Girl Brundtland, who wrote, she was the chair of the commission that came up with Our Common Future. Now, she was the vice president of Socialist International. But she didn't write Our Common Future. It was written by David Rockefeller, Morris Strong, and, oh God, I had the guy's name and I forgot it again. He wrote a bunch of books on, if you remember back a little bit, it was all about interdependence, okay? And Jim McNeil. Now, Morris Strong was involved in the IISD. Jim McNeil is involved in the IISD, the International Institute of Sustainable Development, all parked in Canada. And okay, I got a phone call. My mom's in the hospital right now. It's my sister calling. I have to look after a dog or something tomorrow. So she's just yakking away. So we'll catch up with her when the show's over. But so all of this stuff, none of it's new. They write everything down. I mean, that's what they do. They write it down so you can read it. And if you don't read it, then you're not going to make any noise about it. And therefore, you're silent. And therefore, you've consented. We will have a world government by conquest or consent. And up till now, we have been consenting to everything because we don't read anything. The propaganda comes flying at us 24/7. Whether it be you go to a movie, those are there to put a message in your head. It's not for your entertainment. It's there to put a message in your head, plant seeds in your head, wrong seeds. The media. I mean, what did Rockefeller say? I got to thank the media for, being silent all these decades. Because we would have never got our plan in place if the media had spoke out. So, you got these people watching the media going, oh, I really like this show because it's a right-wing show, stupid leftists. And the leftists are going, oh, I hate that other show because it's a right-wing show. I love this show because it's a left show. Now, left and right was specifically designed to split the population of your nation, to divide it. because a divided nation is easy to conquer. Divide and conquer. So people have got to get away from this stupid-ass idea that the right is different from the left. They're only different in their rhetoric in order to manipulate the minds of those who think they're right-minded and manipulate the minds of those on the left, because they're pumping you with the same crap. Just use different verbiage. But what it is they have you at war with yourselves. Well, they're sitting up in their towers laughing their asses off at you. For you, because you're so damn stupid. On the upside, I am absolutely convinced that we're going to win this. It is a spiritual war. It is a psychological war. They've broken the spirit of our people, and they use psychology to move their propaganda. So, like I told the people in the church, they said, when I look out at you people, I see people not like our forefathers. Our forefathers who came to these lands came here for a reason. They did not come here for an all-inclusive vacation. They came here to get out from underneath the Buddha tyranny, to start anew on a solid grounding. And that's what they did. But over time, the foxes, weasels, and the snakes, you know, with their rhetoric and their benefits and their promises, weakened the foundation that our forefathers built. You know, and I told the people in the church, look at you. You're all weak of the spirit, mind, and spine. And if our forefathers could get out of their graves, they would come in here and slap you up the head for allowing yourselves to be coerced to believe the propaganda and the lies that have been fed to you since your forefathers came here and tried to build that solid foundation. Now, some of the people in the audience at the church got it. Some of them weren't too happy about what I was saying to them. But it's got to get said. It has to be said. You've got to shake these people out of their little world. Because as long as they stay in that little world, they're taking the whole world down. So as I always say, don't blame politicians. They just do what they do. They sold their souls. Okay? The political system is a legal system. And legal is amoral. Law is moral. Legal is amoral. So we've turned ourselves over to a bunch of amoral psychopaths, and then we go and vote for them, hoping that they will do something good for us. And then we continue to do this over and over and over again, which is the definition of insanity. So we got to get our minds right. We can't continue down this road. They wish to cull you. I mean, the idea of assisted suicide is like, it's like pop culture now. You know? When I look back, you know, the Vietnam War was really a turning point. You know, in the World War I and II and the Korean War and the Vietnam War and all those other wars, our strongest, youngest, healthiest men were slaughtered for a purpose, to weaken the rest. And then, you know, we had the 60s and into the early 70s, you know, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll era. And then in the 70s, that's when they really started to feminize the men in the movies and that, just to make them weaker and weaker and weaker. And the men are weak. They're pathetically weak. You know, I know very few strong men, but I know a lot of very strong women. And that's ass backwards. I mean, there's nothing wrong with strong women. Women should be strong. But when it's the women stepping up to the plate and the guys aren't, we got a huge problem. Seems to me that the women are less worried about saying what's on their mind than the guys are. You know, when I had that one lady sign my candidacy form, you know, she just looked at me and she said, "You know, you're the only man in this town that says what needs to be said." And I asked her, why is that? She said, "Everybody's afraid." Of what? You know, if you're afraid, it's going to keep rolling over you. I mean, bullies love people who are afraid. But it's fixable. It's fixable. You know, I had a friend of mine who was afraid of the bullies, the guys that wore the leather jackets and the chained wallets and the boots and the chains and that on it in school. This was in public school, pre-high school. And I got along with everybody. I got along with the intellectuals. I got along with the tough guys. You know, I can be tough and I can be intellectual. I didn't see a split here, at least not for myself. You want to get in a fight, we'll get in a fight. You want to do a paper, we'll do a paper. You know, I was tutoring some of the smartest kids in the class who were struggling, and I couldn't understand it because I never kept notes in school. I didn't find it difficult. I found it boring as hell. But my friend, you know, he was afraid of these guys. And they would bully him around sometimes. And I told him, I said, "Like, why do you put up with this crap? Why do you put up with this?" "Well, you know, I'm afraid I'll get beat up." "Well, as long as you're afraid you're going to get beat up, they're going to keep pushing your ass around. Now, even if you do get beat up, if you don't lay down, these guys will respect you." And he was a good chunk of a guy. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't puny. He was a good chunk of a guy. But this leather and the boots and the gang eye attitude and that scared him. So I remember one day I kept pumping this guy, right? "You just stand up. Even if you get knocked down, you get back up." So one day he goes we're in the hallway, and he's got to go have a leak. So he goes in the bathroom, and I see the leather boys going in, or the one guy. So I thought, well, this could be interesting. So I'm waiting. Eventually my friend comes out. He looks a little shook up. He kind of reminded me of Ralphie, you know, in that movie Christmas Story, when Ralphie finally loses it on the tough guy, beats the snot out of him. So my friend comes out, and he's looking a little shaky. And I go, how's it going? I says, did he give you a hard time? Yeah. Yeah, it was giving me a really hard time. And then I just kept hearing what you said, like, just stand up. So, and this guy was not a fighter. And he just wound up and let this guy have it, knocked him out cold. And guess what? Nobody bothered him again. And this idea that we as a nation of weak people worrying about some pencil neck giving you a hard time for something that was legislated somewhere to irritate you and get their hand in your pocket even deeper and build a bigger bureaucracy to stomp on you even more. All we gotta do is stand up and say no. Now, I don't think people understand how powerful that word is. Very small word, but it's extremely powerful. You know, when they came here when I was renovating the house and they wanted me to get a minor variance, I said no. That turned into a 3-month fight, but eventually I won because I ain't bowing down. You know, and that's the blink attitude, you know. Somebody's going to blink. And if you know you're not going to blink, well, then they're going to have to blink. And you always know when they blinked. Because they'll come back and try some other negotiation. You don't ever negotiate with them once they blinked, because you already won. The whole idea of getting you into a new negotiation is to drag you into a position where they can get at you again. So for us to regain our nations is not that difficult. It's about attitude. It's about having a strong attitude, about knowing wrong from right. And you stay on the right side. So we need strong men, because we don't have many of them. We need strong men who have a decent intellect. Not the men. I'm not interested in the men who, if they knock on my door, I'll shoot them. I ain't interested in them clowns. This is a spiritual, psychological war. It has to be fought that way. The fact is that we outnumber these idiots that are running our lives millions and millions and millions and millions and millions to one. So all we got to do is stand up and say no. And it's over. No, I mean, it's not that fast. I mean, the words are easy. I'm talking, it's going to take a while. But we're not going to be sneaky about it. We don't have to be sneaky about it. It took them centuries to get us here because they're being sneaky. Right? Doing it incrementally, generationally, slowly. Boil the frog slowly. He won't know he's being boiled. But we know we're being boiled now. So it's not going to take generations and generations and generations to bust this pattern. We can do it fairly quickly. We just have to make a decision that we're going to do it. We have absolutely nothing whatsoever to fear. You are born and you will die. That's it. The question is, what is it you're going to do between your birth and your death? Nothing. Be fearful. Run to those who are abusing you for help? No. You got to go back and kind of study those who first came to these lands. The strong men and women, because their blood is still coursing through our veins. And it's time we activate it. And then we can restructure our nations. And the first thing we have to do is get rid of the right and the left. We have to bring our people together. No more of this division. No more of this political division. Because a political division goes through the politics, it goes through the media, it goes through the churches, it goes through the schools, it is in every aspect of your lives. People are divided. And a nation divided cannot stand. So we got to get rid of these two-party, three-party, four-party, it doesn't matter how many parties are, you got right and left. We have to get back to law. We have to get back to a moral footing. And legal, by definition, is amoral. So we've got to lose it. Bring our people back together. And once we have our people together, like, you know, I said this in 2007 on a radio show when I ran in a provincial election then as an independent. You know, I said, we got to get rid of the political system. We can keep the electoral districts. But, you know, when you think about it, you don't, unless it's a small party like the one I ran for, the Libertarians, where we have to go out and get our own names and be qualified that way. But if you're running for the Liberals or the Conservatives or the Democrats, Republicans, you don't pick the candidate. The party picks the candidate. You don't pick the leader of the party. The party picks the leader of the party. And all of these people have rotten souls, and they are completely controlled by those above them. And they do as they're told. Now, if we just go and to our own districts, without this right-left political system, this party system, and if you look up party, you will find the word divide. We don't want a divided people. We want a people who work together for the benefit of each other in the nation. So you and your district, you go out and you find the best man or woman who can represent your district with a callback. Okay? Because anytime you get a group of people together that are handling a bunch of money now, they can get rotten on you. So you got to have a recall, an instant recall. If your district decides that representative you sat down there is not doing the job or is starting to do things crooked, then you pull them. And you put somebody else in there. But you work around a round table, not opposing sides. Why are we opposing each other? It's our nation. So your rep goes down and brings the assets with them. You know, what our people know how to do. Do we have timber? Do we have iron? Do we have whatever? And they'll sit around and decide how to make the nation work for the people, and the people are the nation. And you will find that the homelessness will disappear. You will find that the hunger will disappear. You will find that your education system improves immensely because we now, the people, decide what's being taught to the students for the benefit of the nation, not the benefit of those trying to take the nation down, who are the very ones that wrote up the curriculum. Then we get back to manufacturing what we need. If someone wants to buy something from us, fine. But we're not going to just let you flood our lands with stuff that kills our manufacturing. That's suicide. But that's where all that interdependency crap came from. Okay? There's no reason that North America, I mean, you have, let's see, America is just slightly smaller than China. It has about a quarter of the population of China. Canada is the second largest landmass on the planet with basically no population. We have less population than the state of California. And working together, America and Canada can be the light for the rest of the world, just as our forefathers planned. We let it get away on us. But it doesn't mean because it got away on us, we can't get it back. You know? They're determined to take us down. We have to be determined to push them out of here. You know, don't worry about all this rhetoric about FEMA camps and I mean, everything's been internationalized now. Your local police force. You might as well put blue helmets on them. Your military, you might as well put blue helmets on them. Okay? I mean, it's all been internationalized. We are under international law. Nobody asked us if we wanted to be under international law. You know, our representatives didn't ask us. So therefore, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't hold any water. You know, they stepped way outside the bounds when they put us in with the UN and that. It was all phony right from the get-go. It's all part of the takedown. They played it up to us. It was about peace. There hasn't been any peace on this planet since. It's all part of the game. To control your health, your food, your water, your finances, everything. We have basically no control over our futures. They do. Now, you know, I had a guy, I said something one time in an interview with somebody, and they stuck it in a video. I don't remember it exactly, but I said something to the effect of, you know, these people want a world government. These are the very people that started World War I, World War II, and every other war in between and afterwards. And they killed. Okay, because they set up the wars to move us to a global government. And these people killed hundreds of millions of people. Now, can you imagine what the outcome is if we give them what they want? Total and complete control over everyone and every resource on the planet? How do you think that's going to work out for everybody? Not well. So, do we have options? No, we have no options. Other than get our nations back. You know, this idea that Mr. Trump is a good guy, well, you know, he has lifted the spirits of a portion of the population, but I still call him a player, because if his intent was to turn America around, the first thing on his hit list would have been the United Nations building in New York. He would have instantly turned that in to an apartment building for the homeless and the vets. He would have put it down order to get rid of the Trilateral Commission instantly. But they're still there. These are the people that run our lives. We didn't elect them, but they run our lives. You know, so the history tells us exactly how we got here, tells us exactly what the purpose was of the people that got us here. And it's totally wrong-minded. And it has harmed hundreds of millions of people, billions of people. And it's going to continue to get worse if we don't step up to the plate. You know, so I ran in this election. Do I want to run an election? No. But it's necessary because that's when you can talk to the people. You can actually sit down and have some conversations because this election's going, people's kind of, they don't know anything, really. But at least they're more open-minded during that time period. And you get a feel for where people's minds are at. And that's why I do this sort of thing, to gauge the population, at least in my district, and my district is not much different than any other district. But you got to get engaged. I hate politics. Most people hate politics. I understand politics. I understand how we got here. I understand how we're going to get this fixed. But there's that old saying, you will either affect politics or politics will affect you. Well, we've allowed the politics to affect us in a negative manner since it began. And the power base, the judiciary, everything is based on this political system. So if you plan on changing it, you have to engage in it. So we get a hold of it, then we can scrap it, then we can be free, and then there's a future for those that come after us. We failed to do so. We haven't done our duty. This is not a war where you got to pick up a gun. It's a war where you got to use your mind and your spirit. You get those two strong, and we are a power to be reckoned with, and we will win. So when I got 1 minute left, I want to thank Jules for everything that she's done to put this network up here, to give me a space to speak, and others, so many other good guests or hosts to speak. It's going to be a loss, a big loss, but, you know, I want everybody to pray for Jules' health and thank her for everything that she's done here over the years. And it wasn't just UCY, it was Oracle and Orion she was involved in. She's been very dedicated, and you know, very few people could have done what she's done over this long term period, and it's her turn to rest. And I hope someday we see her back, and I hope some days we can get her on as a guest on a network or something, because her voice is very important, and I hope everybody listens to her show tomorrow morning. I believe it's me, and I know I'll be there. So, thank you, Jules. Thank you, ECY. Thanks for listening.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesarship, force of air, fuck them back. It's only for them more. They shoot, they kill, they make.